Russia has become a prime source for the trafficking of women. And though exact numbers are hard to come by, a new survey suggests at least 90,000 women currently living in Russia have been the victims of trafficking. As NPR's Anne Garrels reports, the Russian government has done almost nothing to help.
The Russian city of Chelyabinsk is just the kind of place traffickers look for women. On the edge of Siberia, it's remote and relatively poor. The women have white skin, which is prized in Asia and the Middle East. And so far, given the lack of government action, traffickers have been able to operate with impunity. When mothers of victims began telling her their stories 8 years ago, Larisa Vasilyeva took up the cause. She got some funding from the U.S. and Europe, but there's been stony silence from the Russian government. She describes one of the most recent victims she's tried to help, a young mother anxious to improve the life of her little girl.
Her family had to share a tiny apartment with her parents, who drank. The conditions were intolerable. Her husband made little money. Working in a shop, she made even less. She answered an ad to work abroad. She ended up in Syria, where she was imprisoned and forced into prostitution. She refused. They beat her, burned her, and raped her. She finally escaped.
Her husband and Larisa led the search after suspecting all was not well in Syria. The Russian police did nothing. When they finally managed to get her home, Larisa says the woman was a skeleton, traumatized, and pregnant. By then, Larisa's foreign funding had dried up. She'd been forced to close her shelter. All she could offer were volunteer psychologists and legal help. The woman refused to give any information about the company in Chelyabinsk who had set her up, fearing she would be killed. There's no witness protection program.
We've tried to work with the police, but little has come of it. Given problems with the legal system, we've focused on preventing this before it happens.
Larisa has launched an information campaign to warn young women in Chelyabinsk against job offers abroad that just look too good to be true. She's worked with orphanages where the girls are particularly vulnerable.
While conditions have improved, these kids are lost. They have never been anywhere. We're trying to teach them about the world, trying to boost their self-esteem, trying to warn them about the dangers outside.
Sarah Mendelson with CSIS, a Washington, D.C. think tank, helped conduct a survey which shows more than 80% of Russian women think trafficking is a serious problem. Thanks to women like Larisa, many are now aware of the risks. But Larisa and Mendelson say government action is key.
The problem is, who's doing anything about it? There's no law that's been passed on trafficking. There's also likely corruption in the police, and so there may be prosecution that needs to be done.
There's no government assistance for the victims, the very young women the Russian government needs if its goal to improve the birth rate can be achieved. And this reflects a bigger problem. There is a lack of help for all abused Russian women. According to government estimates, one Russian woman dies at the hands of her husband or partner every hour. But police don't respond. Under pressure from women activists in Chelyabinsk, the local government has finally set up a crisis center to deal with domestic abuse. It wasn't easy. The center is understaffed. It can't provide 24-hour service. There's no shelter. And psychologist Ina Martinova says police often blame the women.
I just had a case where the police made it worse, and I had to deal with the secondary trauma as a result. We have not been able to build good links with the police.
Martinova fears that with the growing economic crisis here, women will be more at risk. More may be tempted to take potentially dangerous jobs abroad. More may be victims at home. She worries the fledgling crisis center, already overwhelmed, will be cut back. Anne Garrels, NPR News, Chelyabinsk.